I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. The Daily Journal, Monday through Thursday, a podcast to bring you a daily dose of news the way it should be told. News that you're not hearing and news that you are hearing incorrectly. We bring you fact, not fake. We bring you principle, not party politics, which quite often does not make us very popular. After all, we are on the Southern Poverty Law Center's list of anti-government extremist hate groups. I wonder, my husband came across, and I have my husband here with me and my co-host, J.C. Hall. My husband came across a little fun fact yesterday.
Did I?
Yes. I have an IMBD page.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what the Southern Poverty Law Center thinks about the fact that I have an IMBD page.
Yeah. The Internet Movie Database?
Yeah. That's what that is. IMBD, yeah. Internet Movie Database.
Yeah, apparently connected to your interview on In Depth.
Right.
On C-SPAN.
Right. So I am now a movie personality.
I don't know if it's the fact that it was the length of it, because it was 3 hours.
Three hours, yeah.
Or how much it was broadcast and rebroadcast, or a combination of the two.
How many people watched it? I think it was, they told us, one of the most rebroadcasts of C-SPAN's In-Depth book. It's
right.
In-Depth, which is a book review. It's one, the tagline is one author, 3 hours, your questions.
Yeah.
It was fun.
While we were there, he said, the phone lines were locked up from the beginning. He said that had never happened in
their history of the show.
Of doing show,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Right.
And then
they couldn't even get to a fraction of the callers that called in.
Yeah, it was rebroadcast a lot.
Being rebroadcast.
Yeah. And then you actually got one of the most interesting things about that interview on C-SPAN, In-Depth Book TV, was how many emails and contacts from non-conservatives.
Yes.
And I don't mean yelling at you, but in that they said kind of the consensus was, you made us think about some things, and I'll have to look at some things differently, and I'll have to sort of rethink what I thought about these things.
I know,
so you
was
got
the
that over and over
part.
And over from lots of non-conservative viewers. So it was pretty interesting.
Oh, it was exciting for us to have these new people come on board, these new listeners and seekers.
I don't know if I say on board, but
not
clearly
on board, but
clearly there was an influence.
Yes.
I mean, for them to, first off, to go through the trouble of emailing and contacting,
right,
and then to say, you made me rethink some things.
What do the politicians say? Every email they receive is representative of a certain number in the constituency.
Yeah,
that's how they do that.
Sure.
But it's pretty exciting to see that happen and know that we were able to sow some seeds in the hearts and minds of some people that maybe we're thinking about things differently.
Well, I just felt like it showed the power of the truth, the power of the yes. message. It's not about partisan politics. It's not about, because there was no party, no sort of party thing. It was,
right.
you know, these are concepts of liberty, principles of liberty, and, you know, it was really sort of an explanation. He was talking about your book, Sovereign Duty, but, you know, you were explaining.
Well, he went over all the books, actually.
Yeah, he went through a lot of stuff. You're explaining the mechanisms, the proper mechanisms of government, according to the Constitution, according to the framers' intent, and then, you know, the principles of liberty in general. So,
well, I don't fault the guy. He was really great. He tried to make it political a couple of times. You know, what about Trump and all this stuff? And I thought, and we were able, and I was able to bring it back to a liberty constitution.
Yeah, he did ask those things. But, yeah. I mean, you know, that's one of those things of.
I think he has to do that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
well. And they that's think they have to do that. That's what we were talking about. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you do a talk show, you do a TV show, you do some sort of communications right. type media, and there's always a consideration of the audience, right? You know, you have to pay the bills to continue to do what you do, right?
So there's an element of marketing.
Yeah. So there's an element of okay, what are the people going to consume? And if you take that too far, like your whole thing has been to educate. It's not. And you talk about taking back the narrative. And
right.
we see so much of the talk that goes on is the same stuff over and over again.
Right.
You know, you listen to some of the talk shows 3 hours a day, 5 days
oh.
a week of the same stuff.
It's mind-numbing sometimes.
Well, just,
well,
just
stop
recently,
it,
well, this morning, we're right. sort of catching a bit of stuff. Or I was in the car and you catch things here and there. And so it's football season again.
Right.
Right. So.
Woo-hoo.
Or coming up on football season, preseason. And so the big thing is, again, there's still people kneeling or not coming out of the locker room during the anthem. And so it's the thing. And my perspective has been from the outset, because if you recall, my perspective has been from the outset that we feed it, okay?
Right, absolutely.
So if you recall, you think back, because we like football.
Mm-hmm.
We like unplugging, you know, sort of put your brain in neutral and watch something that doesn't matter, that doesn't really mean anything, right? Just
it's just
relaxation for the
game.
Mind. Given what we do every day, all day, is just unplugging the brain, right? It's a completely insignificant thing. So we watch it. And if you remember when I don't want to say his name. I don't want to even feed into it. If you remember the guy that started the thing, and then people were kneeling
during
as well.
National anthem.
The fact of the matter is it had faded. It almost had
yeah.
petered out, right?
Yeah.
It almost had gone away. It was nothing. And then President Trump tweeted, and all of a sudden it revived. Like, he revived it by criticizing it. And that's, of course, his right to do so. But then I guess all the media, as we've seen since he's come on the scene, all the media follows his lead. Whatever
right.
whatever he's doing, whatever is surrounding him, that's the topic. And so conservatives began, I mean, it really began like, remember the body count during the initial Iraq war that the liberal
right.
media,
right,
now,
right.
now we have a player, who kneeled today? Who kneeled this Sunday? Who stayed in the locker room this Sunday? So you get this roster. So it's been my contention. My point has been my contention that if we didn't talk about it, if we didn't feed it, it wouldn't be so big. So we listen today, and here it goes again. And so now we're entering into this season, and it's going to be once again reviving this who kneeled, who didn't kneel, and this gripe. And I think if we didn't talk about them, they wouldn't continue to do it. They think they're getting attention for their cause
no.
because people are arguing about it so much.
I think what was most telling today was on the show that we were listening to, the host said, you know, I don't want to talk about this. It absolutely means nothing to me. I couldn't care less about it. It's just ridiculous. But, and then he talked about it for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, and he's naming everybody, making arguments, this, and then saying, what was the question he
why
posed?
Why are we
like,
even
why,
talking about
no,
this?
No, why are they keep doing this or whatever? Why are they keep doing it, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he didn't understand why this and that. And my view was, Well, it's you. It's your fault.
It's exactly. We were in the car.
Because you keep feeding it.
I wish people could ride in the car with us. We're at the car, and he asked the question, why do they keep doing this? And then you yell out, because of people
you,
like
idiot.
You.
Yeah. So this will be the last time we talk about it. I just mentioned, the only reason I mention
right?
it is to say, stop talking about it.
Stop. And now we're just feeding it. You know, we have a really great show today. I'm going to give people some encouragement. In this section, before we go on to the break, did you know that West Virginia lawmakers have moved to impeach their entire Supreme Court?
I saw that. That's amazing.
That is amazing. That is something
it's
worthy
an incredible amount of corruption.
Talking about. Yes,
but
absolutely.
But it actually, it reminds me, we had a similar thing. The stuff that they talk about, we had, that was our scenario in Florida not too long ago.
Yeah,
remember when
absolutely.
They built this multi-million dollar office space and all that sort of stuff?
The Supreme Castle.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court Castle.
So we had a similar thing. Now in West,
but nobody was impeached in Florida.
Yeah, but in West, now in West Virginia.
Well, we're not talking about it right now.
It went farther, I
yeah.
think. Well, at least it was exposed to have gone
it's
farther.
It's gone exposed to
in
go
West
farther.
Virginia.
But we're not going to talk about it now. I'm just going over the cases. I want to talk about this.
It's funny to me in the same article. Rick,
it's not the article
anymore.
Oh,
I was going to say, Rick Scott has a picture in the RF. So.
Oh, does he really?
Oh, isn't that Rick Scott?
Oh, yeah, that's Rick Scott, but that's
yeah.
a different article.
That's in the Kasich article. So he's whining about Republicans are being mean.
Yeah.
And that's why Ohio's race was so close.
Right.
Right?
Right, right.
In his former district.
Right, exactly. Because the Republicans are mean, and we'll tell everybody why they are so mean. This is a follow-up from our Saturday show. Those of you listening to the Daily Journal, if you did not hear our Saturday show titled, Have You Considered This Cabal? You have got to listen to that show. You don't follow us on, I mean, you're not on Facebook
not
or
on
Twitter
Facebook.
And all that other stuff. You
I'm on Instagram.
You're on Instagram.
I'm just a picture guy.
Yeah, but
I
Instagram.
I like making memes. I'm enjoying Instagram.
Yeah, we need
I
to get
hate social media.
I need to teach you how to make better memes, though.
I'm starting
like the format of your memes.
Yeah, I need a better meme maker.
I can show you how to do that. Anyway, the Instagram doesn't let you share links, so we can't do the show on Instagram because you can't do links. But the feedback from Saturday's show, I mean, people are like, They're mind blown.
Well, if your mind was blown on that, then this article is going to really blow your mind.
Yeah.
I was blown away when we did the show, and then you came across this, and you said, "You'll never
right
believe
away.
What they're saying now."
I know.
It makes me wonder: were they listening to our show, or did they go read the book that Pat Wood suggested from one of the Rockefeller
know.
Illuminati types?
Well, actually, this article was published before our show, so I just found it afterwards.
Yeah, stay tuned for this.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Show, Chris Ann Hall Daily Dose, Daily Journal of Fact, Not Fake, Truth, Not Fiction, Principle, Not Party Politics. You know, I promised I would give them good news in the last segment.
Okay, give good news.
Okay, so thank you. We were going to talk about this amazing discovery after our show. I want to introduce everybody to Sheriff Tim Morse. He is in Jackson County, Kansas, which is on the northwest. Everybody, you can't see us what we're doing. I'm directionally challenged. That's northwest, right?
That is northwest.
Okay. So he's northwest of Kansas City, northwest of Lawrence, Kansas. And he issues this press release that is just absolutely amazing. This is a constitutional sheriff. And it's a very long press release.
Does he say he's a constitutional sheriff?
He doesn't have to.
I got you.
This is a really long press release, so I'm not going to be telling you everything that's in it, but I do want to read you a couple things. Now, he is proposing what he calls a school defender initiative. He's taking charge locally of a problem that has been plaguing America, as he says, for 20 years. He says, for over 20 years now, children have been the target of deranged persons who have slaughtered innocent children in a place we expect them to be safe, their schools. And in 20 years, our federal and state government has done little to nothing to make them safer. The time has come for the people to stand up and demand that their children be protected from these disturbed individuals. Unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, there's been an increase of deadly violence among some of our young people. And what's amazing is he doesn't go into a tirade about gun control.
Right.
He does the exact opposite. And he draws out the ridiculous hypocrisy of it all. He says, after the Oklahoma City bombing, there were security measures taken. But no changes. And after 9/11, there were security changes at airports. It didn't take 20 years, he said, for all of these things to happen. So now for 20 years, nobody's done anything productive. And this is what he says. Murder has been illegal for a very long time. Therefore, simply making more laws will not stop these horrific events from happening. Right?
Yeah.
This is something we've been changing. He says, criminals and deranged killers are not law-abiding citizens and have no intention of following the law. No legislation can tell you what is in a person's mind. More should be done for mental health, but at the same time, there's no magic wand to fix the world's mental health issues. Look at what he says. No law will make people take their medications. More than, he says, in a country where more than 300 million, right, firearms and a constitutional amendment that protects the right of gun ownership, it is not possible to rid our country of the world of all firearms.
Or the world.
With all firearms. And then he goes into the same thing you and I talked about right after Parkland. He says you have to limit the entrances to schools. Schools need to be highly trained and their personnel need to be armed. And he goes into this whole plan about how to keep our children safe in a place where people generally, do they not take for granted that our children should ought to be safe?
Uh-huh.
And this is what a constitutional sheriff sounds like.
Yeah,
I
don't know if he's constitutional sheriff, but it's very practical. It's about solutions.
Well, he's recognizing that we are not going, that laws don't stop crimes, right?
Yeah, but I would.
And that
I
we have
I
a protected
would, yeah,
right.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, I mean, if you don't know.
Okay, so
for
I'm going too hard.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm too excited about what I'm reading.
It's very practical, and mm-hmm. it makes sense. I mean, and he makes reasonable arguments about, because we, you know, the thing that he addresses that I like, all the sort of empty talk of talking about this law and that law and all these sort of things that really, when you think about it, they won't accomplish anything. They don't accomplish what the people are claiming they accomplish. So mm-hmm. he hits all that stuff. Like, this law is not going to fix mental health. It's not going to fix these guns. You're not going to get rid of guns, blah, blah, blah.
And people have a protected right to own
yeah.
firearms.
And so here is, and he didn't say he supported that or didn't support it. That's why I say
right.
I don't know if he is or not.
Right.
But, you know, he comes up with a practical solution. And that's really... that's what has always seemed to me the hypocrisy of these screaming and yelling that they're so concerned about the kids, because they don't talk about real solutions.
As there again, men tear up our constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution, standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war. The love of our country as our ammunition.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host J.C. Hall. I just want to simply say thank you to Sheriff Tim Morris for making some practical solutions.
It's Morse, like Morse code.
Yeah, Morse, like
M-O-R-S-E.
Morse code in Jackson County, Kansas.
But he gets right to the heart of a local solution.
Right, and that's what we need. We need a local solution.
He does mention potential funding, but from
the federal government.
Either feds or says federal or if federal or state doesn't do this. But then he talks about, here's what we're practically need to do. And that's what we need.
Well, he doesn't necessarily scream out for federal help.
He's
recognizing that nobody on the federal government is doing anything. Nobody on the state government is doing anything. It's time that we take control of this within our schools.
But this is a person who's legit concerned about the actual
children,
victims,
right,
potential
exactly.
victims. Okay, this is the part that always ticks me off, that demonstrates how immoral this lefty loon gun grabbing nut jobs are, because they are not sincerely concerned for the so-called the children, the victims of blah blah blah, because they're not trying to solve it. If your solution, and you suggest we need to ban all guns and confiscate and get rid of them, you're an idiot and a lunatic, because that is not possible. Even if you would love for that to happen in your wildest dreams, it's not possible. And the only way it could be possible in their fantasy world is them having to create a complete and utter, the most totalitarian type of government you've ever seen.
Right.
And you're talking about bloodshed on these.
No, you're talking
in this land like you've never
war.
Seen.
Well, you're talking about war.
Absolutely.
I mean, even in 1774, when Thomas Gage seized the powder in the Charleston Powder House, all the colonists at that time, which they were still colonists, declared that what he had done was an act of war against the people.
So that's what I'm saying. If somebody who calls for confiscation, ban, and all that, they are immoral.
Right.
Because they are calling for the death of millions of American citizens. That's what they're calling for, because that would be the result of what they're saying.
It would certainly be to a higher magnitude than our last Civil
War. That would make the Civil War
pale
in comparison.
Saturday, we did a very important show. We've had people on social media call it the most important show of the year. I had one guy say, well, I don't know how you can choose one from the Chris Ann Hall show. But it's just, I mean, seriously, I think the magnitude of what we did in exposing this cabal of private corporations who are controlling the rights of the people.
Yeah, there's a big monster out there we don't talk about and we don't look at. But surely the we focus on the federal government, we focus on local solutions, and even that, still local is your best place. Local and state level is the best place to regain control over your immediate circumstances, over your life, over your liberty. But I think this cabal now that has risen in the corporate world, these autocrats that are now using, let's face it, using capitalism as a tool to drive
corrupting the mechanism of capitalism.
Right. They've created this corporate cronyism, right, in place of capitalism.
It's crazy
when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because all of the things that when the socialist and commie useful idiots stand up, right? They criticize capitalism. Well, why do they criticize capitalism? Well, one of the main reasons is they see this corporate cronyism, and they say that's capitalism. Well, who's done that? Who's put that out there as a caricature of capitalism, and it's conveniently able to be attacked? The same people that want to tear down the system and then reinstitute their control over you.
Well, we're not going to reteach a show. I really want everybody to go back to the Saturday show, Have You Considered This Cabal? It's available at chrisannhall.com, and you can find it there. You can also find it on our broadcaster, Podomatic. And the first half of the show is available at gcnlive.com through our on-demand program there. But we had a special guest, Patrick Wood, who writes a book about technocracy and about how this is. And he outlines the Marxist goal of this technocracy, which is simply the socialism of technology, the use of technical power.
It's totalitarianism.
Power. Yeah, it's totalitarianism.
Right?
Thank you.
Marxism is actually sort of a level below. It's a tool that they use.
Marxists use a tool to this technocracy tool. And in this, he outlines how these people, since the Great Depression, have been actively using technology to transform the psyche of the American people and people around the world towards this totalitarian regime style of government.
Yeah, they use science and sort of social science mechanisms for control. They're really almost, I would describe them as sort of utopia. What would you call that? Utopian?
Well, socialism is utopian, but...
Yeah, but these guys, to me, like I said, the Marxism and stuff is a tool that they use. They want complete control in their hands, and they believe that, you know, well, we've studied out, we got the algorithms, we got the data, we got the scientific formulas, we have the technology, and so we can make our utopia
where we
sit atop in control.
And we are the superior evolution of the human race.
Exactly.
We are the neo-sapiens because we're smarter than everybody. We can dictate this. So part of this plan... obviously is the general destruction of our constitutional republic. It's where you get this constant drum beating of America is a democracy, because democracy is totalitarian government. And so what's amazing is here I am now with a new vision of this after we talked to Patrick Wood, and I run across this article in USA Today written by Tina Dupuy, I don't know, D-U-P-U-Y, who is an opinion contributor there at USA Today. And the title is, Donald Trump Broke the Presidency. It's time to get rid of the job altogether. Now, so first and foremost, my mind is going, Donald Trump broke the presidency? Obviously, you haven't been paying attention for the last 150 years. But then I started reading this because I realized this was exactly what Patrick was talking about. The elimination, one of the goals of the technocrats is to eliminate the office of the presidency and replace it with a council.
Yeah.
A council. You know they want to do a global council, right? But they're going to do a council. And this article is so, so stunning that I don't even think she knows. So she says, in 1973, the idea came up again a few weeks after the second inauguration of Richard Nixon, when the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian Barbara Tuchman wrote a piece in the New York Times asking, quote, should we abolish the presidency? Tuchman argued that Congress is at fault for the executive branch becoming too powerful. Quote, responsibility must be put where it belongs, in the voter. The failure of Congress is a failure of the people. What I found was crazy about this, right? Congress is the problem, so we have to end the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
How does that match? So we have Congress giving too much power to the office of the president, and so we got to get rid of the office of the president. I don't understand the linear thinking of that kind of idea. It's basically what it's saying is, we have, and it's what Frederick Douglass said too, we have people in the system who are ignoring the Constitution, destroying the principles of the Constitution. Why are we blaming the Constitution for this?
Yeah.
And she wants to abolish the office of the president because we have wicked people in government. And so what we want to do is put more power in the voter, who, by the way, keeps re-electing these congressmen that are destroying the Constitution. So I'm not talking about taking, you know, power from the people, but we are not empowered with the right things. And she ends this statement with this. She says, she says the entire world sees it. We're in trouble. The presidency is broken. Our little democratic experiment is in peril. We can amend our Constitution to save the republic. Now she wants to call us a republic. Abolish the presidency. Power to the people. Power to Congress. Isn't that the problem from the get-go? power to Congress. Congress is executing more power than they're supposed to have, and they're exercising a power of abdicating their authority to the president, so we're going to give more power to the Congress and eliminate the office of the president? I don't know. It's just crazy. Give us a council of boring bureaucrats who will do the job. How is that power to the people when we're not even going to be electing the executive anymore? She is proposing that the executive branch be an appointed bureaucrat, a series of bureaucrats, council of bureaucrats by Congress to serve the people and leave after their term ends. That is just insanity.
Yeah, the lady, Tina, I don't know how to say her name, D-U-P-U-Y. She's a comedian. She's the lady who accused Al Franken of groping her.
Oh, my goodness. Why do comedians now become politically relevant?
You know, it's funny. It always...
What makes her an expert on the Constitution? Because she can tell a joke.
But you know what always rings in my mind? That conversation we had with C.L. Bryant. Remember way back, and he was talking about All in the Family and the different kind of things that they would do. I forget who he was talking about. But
molding the psyche of the people.
Yeah, using popular media to shape thought. And he said he was telling us that their philosophy was make them laugh.
Make them laugh.
So if you make them laugh, you put it in the form of comedy. It's this subtle mode of brainwashing where you can put these things. Which is interesting because this lady was apparently came out of, I don't know if you remember the cult, The Family.
Yeah.
Started Children of God, then was The Family. So she's a former cult member. So it's interesting how now you have this comedian using this subtle brainwashing.
So I want to talk about this before the break. She says, because our forefathers believed democracy was worth fighting for, even if you had to fight a mad king for it.
Actually, they thought it was worth fighting against democracy.
Yes, exactly. We have James Madison in Federalist Paper number 10, who gives the entire argument about why democracy is not what they created, but a republic. He even lines out an outlined, reasoned argument as to why we are a republic and not a democracy. See, this is the technocrats, and this is what they're trying to do.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. And I just want to mention to you very quickly what James Madison says about this democracy. And when these people in politics, in pundits and media today talk about democracy, what they're talking about is a pure democracy where one vote, one voice,
yeah,
one
will
vote.
Will of the majority.
Will of the majority. And this is what Madison says. He says, from the view of this subject, it may be concluded that a pure democracy, which is what they're talking about, by which I mean a society consisting of a small number of citizens who assemble and administer government in person, can admit of no cure for the mischiefs of factions. A common passion or interests will, in almost every case, be felt by a majority of the whole. A communication and concert result from the form of government itself, and there is nothing to check the inducements to sacrifice the weaker party or an obnoxious individual. Hence, it is that such democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal liberty, with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been in violent, has been violent in their deaths.
And I think that's actually what we're seeing now.
Absolutely. He's describing politics today.
We have slowly tilted more and more to democracy. If you think about the politicians, sort of early on, the politicians started going by polls, right? So they take a poll, what does kind of people do? And you even hear that with conservatives. Your job, your job is to follow the will of the people. You're not carrying out the will of the people. That's not true.
That's not
it's
job.
Not your job to carry out the will of the people.
Your job is to support and defend the Constitution
right,
of the United States.
Because
right?
the people at that time, the representatives of the people at that time, based on the principles of natural law, particularly in the Bill of Rights, laid this down.
Speaking of following the law, we have these West Virginia lawmakers who are going to impeach their entire Supreme Court. And I want to bring this story up because so many people today believe that impeachment of judges is simply not possible.
Right.
But it is. We're watching it happen. We have 14 articles of impeachment against four judges filed last week, Tuesday. They will go to the full House of Delegates. Now, don't you know they're accused of wasteful spending taxpayers' funds on a lavish renovations, using public vehicles for personal matters, creating a plan to pay certain senior judges more than lawful. And we still have people trying to take this and make it political. So a state representative, Barbara Fleischer there, in West Virginia, who's a Democrat, told the Charleston Gazette-Mail that lumping all of the justices together in the articles of impeachment seemed to be a coup of sorts to help the Republican governor appoint new justices. And yet what we have two Supreme Court justices who have, we have one that has already resigned because of these indictments. We have another who has been put on paid leave, right? Mm-hmm. So if they are not all justly charged, they will have their due process, and then they will be able to stay or go. The problem is, what we have here are people saying, look, we're tired of the corruption in the court system.
Right.
And we are not a kingdom, and they are not an oligarchy over us. We do not have to pick up the sword and drag out the guillotine. Mm-hmm. We are a constitutional republic, and we are going to remove them peacefully and constitutionally.
Yeah.
How many people realize the fraud and the unethical behavior that our federal Supreme Court engages in?
Well, I think it's what you had touched on, or you said it, they think it's impossible to impeach, but they also, what you've talked about many times, not only do they think it's impossible to impeach a judge, but they actually think it's sacrosanct. So
yeah.
you're not supposed to do it, right? A judge is so high, a judge is so important, as judges, you know, they're a judge, so you're not supposed to do this. The judge is off limits. Remember the one implication in the Senate hearings on one of these guys saying that it's sacrosanct to even criticize
yes,
a judge.
Yes. Well, this
well,
is...
Well, here you go. That'll overturn that notion.
So, number one, you can impeach judges. Number two, this also shows how powerful we have, the power we have in local government, right? This is local government taking back control of the rights and the liberties of the people. Local is our fight. We can do this, and this is just more proof. God bless you guys. See you tomorrow. Let me know.